Good to see you all today. We're going to be looking at the word trust. In fact, let's put Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 on the screen if we have it. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I want all of you to read it with me. Are you ready? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Our God longs for you to trust Him fully. Now, that's not easy to do. Most of us in here have had heartaches and sadness. You've lost loved ones. You've had a financial crisis. Bad things happen to good people. God, where are you? And by the way, why did that happen, God? We have difficulty. Some of us have trust issues in our relationships to other people. We have difficulty trusting people. Back in the 1920s or 30s, there was a store owner who had a son, and he was a tough businessman. He put his little son up on a high box in his store, and he said, "Son, I want you to jump to me." And his little boy loved his dad, and he jumped with all of his might, and his dad moved out of the way, and he fell and hit the floor. And he picked him up and said, "Son, don't ever trust anybody." Ouch. Don't ever trust anybody. Not a good way to live. I think that little boy probably lived a very tragic life, because trust is a good thing, but it must be earned. I'm excited to have our young people here on the front, and they're going to hate me after this, but if they ever borrow your car and they've had a couple of tickets lately, some of the people in the car had been drinking. Oh, and by the way, there was a little ding in the fender. And about 3 days later, they come to you and say, "Hey, Mom, hey, Dad, can I borrow the car?" And you say, "Of course not." And they say the old comeback, "What? Don't you trust me?" That's a strong one right there. And parents, don't get weak in the knees. Your answer is no. I don't. Because of all of that. You see, trust has been eroded. Trust has been betrayed. And you'd say, "No, I don't trust you at this moment." And it takes a long time to get it back. It takes a good bit of driving to earn back the trust that you've lost. Trust is something that we earn, something that is bought and paid for over time. And I often do marriage counseling and do conferences and preach about marriage. And one of the great love busters in our relationships to others is dishonesty. You can be married for 40 years. You can have built up all kinds of credit, you know, with regard to being trustworthy and just earning the trust and the loyalty of your spouse. And after 40 years of building up nothing but good, solid trust, there is one act of dishonesty, one lie, one deception. What happens to the 40 years of trust? It's all gone. All of it. It disappears. Dishonesty is a powerful thing, and it because it betrays trust. And so trust is something that has to be earned. God longs for your trust. My question to you is, has He earned it? Well, of course He has. You're giving me the Sunday school answer now. Of course He has. I trust God. I trust the Lord. Listen, there was a preacher in Austin, Texas, well known by most of you. He's dead now. He's in heaven. But he said from the pulpit in a very honest kind of way. I think he came up through the Depression years, and money was a big deal to him, and resources is something that he just had a hard time dealing with. And he told his congregation on national television, "Folks, I've always had a deep crisis in my life with being able to trust God and to believe that He had my best interest at heart." Now, that's a pretty open and honest thing to say about whether or not he could trust God with his life and with his money and with all that. And so we need to be honest about that. Do you have difficulty trusting people? Do you have difficulty trusting in a divine being who may or may not, you know, be, I think, what's the story about the guy who was on a mountain and he slipped and he fell and he grabbed a limb, a little fragile limb, and it was starting to crack, and he started praying, Lord, I hope you'll save me from this. And he heard a voice that said, let go of the tree, I will catch you. And he looked up and said, is there anybody else up there? It's not always easy to trust God. He asks us and he leads us to do things that to us are very unreasonable. That's why that verse says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And here it is. Don't lean. Don't put all your weight down on your own understanding, because it's flawed. It's very earthy. It's sometimes possessive. It's sometimes weak. It doesn't have a lot of faith. We see something tangible, we want to hold on to it, and he says, let go of it and I'll provide for you. These are tough issues for the Christian life. So how are you doing with trust? Trust in the Lord. He longs for you to trust him fully and completely and totally, not to depend on your own understanding. You see, if we pooled all of our understanding in this room as to whether or not we're going to relocate this church out on 171 for $15 million, should we do that? Should we not do that? Well, we'll pool our ideas and our thoughts and we'll calculate money and we'll look at land and we'll do all the things that we're going to do intellectually. But then there's the Spirit of God who may be saying this or that or the other. He says, don't check your mind at the door. Think about things. God gave you a good mind. Use it. But it's flawed. And it often is mired in the things of the earth, and it's limited in what we can know and do. God wants you to trust him and to obey him and to follow him. Well, I got to tell you a story. My son is now in his 40s, and he's doing well. He's healthy, but there was an episode when he was about 3 or 4 years of age. We lived in Faraday, Louisiana. Anybody know where that is? The home of Mickey Gilley, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Jimmy Swagger. Okay, not a very pretty little town, but wonderful people. Had 3 wonderful years there. Brian and I was being a good father. We went outside in the backyard, we were playing with a Frisbee, and we were tossing that Frisbee back and forth, he got a little bored, so I'd throw it out to the side and throw it out to this side, make it curve and do all that, and finally I just let it rip really well, and it kept sailing, and it landed on our neighbor's roof. Well, you know, life comes at you in a strange way sometimes. I mean, you know, I didn't wake up that morning thinking that was about to happen. And I said, well, what? I don't want to go get a ladder. It's not very tall. I can almost touch the eave of that thing, and it's not a steep roof. And Brian, come over here. He's 4 years old. And you know what I did. I'm a bad father, okay? You know, Brian, here you go. I just sort of pushed him up there real easily, you know. And he's doing fine. He's doing fine. He crawls up that roof, and he gets the Frisbee. And then he turns around and he thinks he's on Mount Everest. Looking down is a little bit different. And he's never been that high before. And he gets afraid. And I get worried. And then he starts scooting down on his seat toward the eave. And he tosses the Frisbee down. And I think, what do I do now? You know, he's getting scared. And he gets really close to the edge. I said, son, I got you. Would you just, it was only about a foot and a half. I'm a strong guy. I'm dad. I love this boy. And I say, son, I want you to jump. And he gets a little more emotional. And all of a sudden, I say, Brian, now I want you to jump because daddy's got you. Let's don't make a scene out of this. I want you to trust me. And so it kind of goes a little further. Then I look toward the house because I hope Pat doesn't come out at this time and see all this. And I did not get Father of the Year that year, okay? I did not get Father of the Year. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, son, I want you to jump. But here's the point I'm making. Brian had a need, and that was to keep living, okay? He did not want to die as a young boy. Nature kicked in, human nature kicked in, and he's looking down at this thing, and he's never been there before. But folks, something began to happen. That's my firstborn son. I love him with all my life. I would die for him just like that. The only problem is he doesn't know that. He doesn't know the love of a father. He doesn't know the passion of a father. He doesn't know that I would never do anything that would hurt him. But all of a sudden, I began to have a need. And it was a deep need. I needed for him to trust me. I needed that. I wanted to give him that. And all of a sudden, he keeps crying, and I keep looking toward the door, hoping my wife doesn't come out. And I say, Brian, I'm getting more serious now. I'm strong. I got big hands. I got big arms. I can catch him. And I said, Brian, I want you to jump. And all of a sudden, his nose begins to bleed. Oh, Lord, don't let her come out and see this. My need began to well up within me, as it probably shouldn't have. I'm not being a good father. This is not how you be a good father. I yelled at him. I said, Brian, I want you to jump. And I think I scared him and he fell off, you know. But when he did, my big hands went around his little rib cage and I held him there firmly and lovingly. I wanted him to know. I had a deep need for him to know that I'm strong enough and big enough to catch him. And I just held him there. And then I pulled him down really close and I wiped his eyes and I wiped his nose and I hugged him. And I was starting to cry myself. And he began to feel a little bit better. And I did a bad thing. Brian, you want to go back up there and try this again? He said, yeah. Put him back up there. He stood up this time. He jumped right off. Caught him again. Real firm. I wanted him to feel my body and the strength that I had. Big grin on his face. I didn't ask him this time. I put him back up there again. But he starts worrying me now because he's backing up. You know, he's ready to back up and he sort of runs, and I said, oh, I'm in trouble now. Well, I caught him again it was a special time. Now, I didn't scar him for life. He's okay. He's a CRNA, a certified registered nurse anesthetist. I tell people we're in the same business. We both put people to sleep. He's a little better at it than I am, but he's doing fine. But it was a special day, a day that I've remembered. I've used this over and over again. I'm an earthly father, but I love my boy. I love my children. I love them more than my own life. And our Heavenly Father has the same perspective, only much greater, toward you. It's a powerful urge. It's a powerful part of His nature. Trust in the Lord with part of your heart. Just go to church and be respectable? No. He wants you to be sold out in your trust for Him. Does He love you? Will He care for you? Oh, life will be hard. Bad things happen. Tragedies happen. I understand all that. But He is trustworthy nonetheless. And we need to learn to trust Him. I hope you'll make that your life's verse for a while. Memorize it. Study it over. Put it on your refrigerator. Whatever you need to do. Trust Him with all your heart. Do not lean completely on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Folks, my path is not always straight because I'm trying to think it through. I'm trying to rationalize things and say, well, if I did this and did that, you know, I feel like the Holy Spirit wants me to do this, but wait a minute, that would be embarrassing. And I start, you know, when you start dancing like that, God just sort of folds His arms and says, well, you know, if you want to go on your own, that's fine. He will make your path straight. Do you believe that? Do you trust Him with that? Listen, I don't like civil religion. I think it makes God sick. Our motto as our nation is, in God we trust. Oh, really? What percentage of Americans trust in our Savior and our Redeemer? Not many, but it sounds good. It's a good motto, and put it on our money or whatever, you know, put it on the wall. It's fine. But so precious few Christians truly trust in God fully and completely and totally. There was an old man who didn't like to fly. Maybe some of you are like that. He was determined he wasn't going to fly. He would always just sull up and said, I'm going to get a bus. I'll get a car. I am not going to fly. Well, there was a death in his family, and he had to fly somewhere. And he was just so reluctant. He was sulking. His bottom lip was pooched out. And he just finally got on that plane stubbornly, and he sat down, and the thing took off and got where he was going. And his arms were folded the whole time, just like that, though. And when he got off the plane, he was still mad about the whole trip. And somebody asked him, how was your flight? He said, well, it was all right, but I never put all my weight down. You can put all your weight down on our Father, all of it. You can put your life on it. You can put everything you are, everything you hope to be, you can put it down on Him. Do you have wisdom? I'm not asking you if you have experience. Some of you have been around here a long time. Some of you have lived life for a long time, and you've had experiences, and you're seasoned. You've been around the block a few times. But godly wisdom is different from that. And the Bible says so clearly in James 1, 5 through 8, if you lack wisdom, and we all do, if you lack it, ask of God who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given. Isn't that great? It'll be given. If you need wisdom for a certain circumstance, a certain situation, he says, just ask Him, and He will give it to you. Isn't that good news? But it says something else. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. You got to trust Him fully, completely, totally, and believe that He is true to His word. I often ask for wisdom because I so desperately need it, and He has never failed me. And He will never fail you to give you that. You know what else I like? It says that He won't make fun of you. You say, well, God, I need wisdom about this episode with my young person, with my children, or with my job. God, will you give me the wisdom that I need? God doesn't say, look, you're 50 years old, you're 80 years old, whatever. You know, you ought to know this by now. He doesn't make fun of us. He doesn't reproach us. He doesn't say all that. He just gives it because you've asked for it. He gives us that wisdom but you must not doubt it. Don't have two minds. Don't be double-minded. Don't waver. Don't go one way or the other. It's so important that we trust Him completely. And it's a serious thing. It's a serious commitment. The old story of Niagara Falls and the man who would often put a tightrope across Niagara, 1,100 feet of tightrope, 150 feet above the water. You know, he'd walk across it, and he'd walk across blindfolded. He would do all sorts of things. He would walk across halfway and cook breakfast, and then he'd walk across the other. This guy was really good. And one day he did it with a wheelbarrow, you know that story, and he went across. The people are cheering, thousands of people cheering. Came all the way back, and everybody's cheering for him. He said, do you think I can put a person in this wheelbarrow and go across? Everybody cheered. And then he said, I need a volunteer. And they got quiet. They got really quiet. And finally, one person said, I believe you can do it, and I'm going to get in the wheelbarrow. Who really believed that he could do it? Just the one man. Oh, the others, yeah, you can do it. But he got in the wheelbarrow, went across, and came back. That's what God requires of us. You got to get up, and you got to get in the wheelbarrow. And put your life on the line, your future on the line, your hopes, your dreams, your plans. Put it all on the line. That's trusting God completely and totally. He wants it. He longs for it, and it breaks his heart when we hold it back. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Acknowledge him, and he will bless you in a special way. Got to tell you the story of Easy Eddie. Easy Eddie was Al Capone, Al Scarface Capone's lawyer. Maybe you've heard this story. It's been circulating for a long time. Easy Eddie was a good lawyer. He kept Al Capone out of jail. He was a smart guy, smart lawyer, and Al Capone took care of him. He bought him a city block in Chicago, Illinois, and the mansion, the whole thing on a whole city block. It was a mutual relationship. Easy Eddie was a slick, smart lawyer who took care of this mob boss, Al Capone. And the only thing about Easy Eddie was he loved what he did. He loved all the money. He didn't mind the corruption, the evil. But he had a son that he loved very much. And he so wanted his son to love him and respect him and all of that. But there were two things that he couldn't give to his son. And those two things were a good name and a good reputation. He could not give those things to his son. Began to work on him. And the history goes and the story goes that Easy Eddie decided to turn state's evidence on Al Capone. And he did. And because of that, Al Capone was ultimately put in jail. But Easy Eddie knew what would happen. He knew that when he made the decision to give his son the two things that he so desperately needed, it would cost him a lot. It would cost him everything. And about a year later, the machine guns on a remote street in Chicago, Easy Eddie lay in his own blood, dead. He knew that would happen when he made the decision to do the right thing, to do something that was so very special that would help his son to have something that he needed so much. That's story number one. I want to tell you about Butch O'Hare now. Butch O'Hare is the only aviator to receive the Medal of Honor ever, as far as I know. I think that's true. The only person to receive the Medal of Honor. In the South Pacific, he was protecting the Lexington, a large aircraft carrier, and had many airplanes. And one day they took off on a sortie, and they all were heading toward their mission. And Butch O'Hare looks down at his fuel gauge, and he sees that nobody topped off his fuel. He didn't have enough fuel to complete the mission. He radioed his commander, and the commander said, "You got to go back." And he was very disappointed. He was a patriot. Turned around and came back, and on the way back, he noticed about 9 Zeros, Japanese Zeros, coming right toward that battle group, not just the Lexington, and they were loaded with bombs. They were going to devastate every one of those ships. Butch O'Hare did the only thing he knew to do. He plowed into them by himself. 50 calibers blazing from both wings and plowed into them. He hit one, he hit another. He shot down 5 of those 9 aircraft. And when he ran out of bullets, he tried to fly into them and maybe hit their wing or their tail boom, something like that, so they would crash. He was just a wild man among these guys. And the other 4 finally left. Butch O'Hare limps into the Lexington and lands, and he begins to tell. Nobody knew what was going on. But there are cameras by those 50 calibers. And he begins to show it to all the people there. They didn't believe that he actually did all that, but it was recorded on that movie. If you go to O'Hare International Airport today, between Gates 1 and Gate 2, you will see a statue of Butch O'Hare, the first aviator to receive the Medal of Honor, with an airplane there. It's an amazing display. O'Hare International Airport, named after Butch O'Hare. I think you know where I'm going with this. Butch O'Hare was the son of Easy Eddie. Trusting in doing the right thing, trusting God, trusting and making the hard decisions in life have everything to do with honoring God and trusting Him and walking with Him, beloved. Oh, it may cost you everything, but it will mean everything in the long run. Our son is doing okay, and I love him just as much as I loved him back when he was 4 years old. And you know, when he was about 7 years old, Brian asked me to come to his bedroom, and he was in tears because he began to get convicted about his sin, even as a seven-year-old, and some of the things that he said and done, and he began to weep, and he said, "Daddy, I want to be saved. I want Jesus in my heart." He was under conviction, and we prayed that day, that evening, that my son would come to know the Jesus that I have known and loved, and he did. I don't know. I'm not sure. I can't tell you with complete confidence that this is true, but I believe with all my heart that the day that Brian learned to trust his earthly father when he jumped off that roof helped him to learn to trust a heavenly father when he was 7 years of age. I want to tell you something today, beloved. If you don't trust God, you need to fully, completely, unreservedly. This coming week, I want you to back up on that roof. I want you to back up on whatever else that you need to do. And I want you to start running. And I want you to take a flying leap off of your timidity and your fearfulness. And when you do, I'm here to tell you with all the confidence in my soul, God will catch you. He's trustworthy. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Bow with me. Father, thank you for these moments. Thank you, Father, for the truth of your powerful, wonderful word. Oh, you're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. You're worthy of our complete and total radical trust. I pray for someone in this room who needs to trust you with their soul, with their lives, with their eternity. I pray that they would repent of their sin right now. God, I need this Jesus. If he is so trustworthy, I need him in my heart and in my life. I pray that you will make that commitment today, that you will turn to him and say, "Lord, come into my life. I trust you to make me a new person." Will you do that today? You may need to trust God with your church life, and this is a good place. This is a healthy place. It is not a perfect place. There are none. You can serve and grow here and learn to love people and let people love you. I hope that you'll take that step and do what you need to do. But for sure, during this invitation, I want you to say something to the Father. Say something that, "God, I've not trusted you fully. I've lived with my own understanding, my own intellect. I've made my own decisions. I've called the shots. Lord, I want to trust you now with everything." Say that to God, if you will. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, everyone stand to your feet as our musician plays softly. Just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. Say something to the Father about your walk with him and your need to trust him. If you need Christ as your Savior, we'll have folks here to help you.